Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And what a busy day for Carson's Corner, folks. You would not believe. Well, maybe you would. We've been doing this for quite some time. What we did today, we had the Bellator NYC Media Day. This took place today at the Paramount Office Building, which is a huge building, 1515 Broadway, right smack dab in the middle of Times Square, just an immaculate building. The Bellator had their media day at the, the White Box event space there in the Viacom building. And it was just an immaculate building, an immaculate experience. We're going to talk all about that. Today, I was able to get some interviews. I spoke to Lyoto Machida, who is fighting Chael Sonnen at what is now being called Bellator 222 at Madison Square Garden, June 14th, later on this year. This is the second Bellator event at Madison Square Garden. You recall Bellator 170. Where Wanderlei Silva or Chael Sonnen beat Wanderlei Silva on that card. This is the second time that Chael Sonnen will be headlining Madison Square Garden. Some other fights on that card: Dylan Danis is fighting Max Humphrey. Speaking of Max Humphrey, we have a very, very special sort of report on there, some very personal interactions with him and. One of our correspondents, my friend and my brother, of course, Rob, will be calling in to speak about a very special young man in Max Humphrey, who not a lot of people know about, and fighting Dylan Danis. He's a 3-2 fighter out of Missouri, I believe. And my brother got to know him, and I got to know him. And he's a very, very special person. You're going to hear all about that in just a little while. You've also got, Neiman Gracie waiting for the winner of John Fitch, Rory McDonald, taking place. That's very, very interesting. And Scott Coker announced today that they're going to be making a couple more fight announcements for that card. So all in all, shaping up to be a very, very good card there at Bellator 222, New York City, which anytime you run in New York City, obviously you want to have the best of cards out there. And we were fortunate enough to go. I didn't think I was going to go, but my brother texted me, said he was able to go, because I've been going to New York City a lot lately. Last week I went to the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship Media Day. Arnim Lobov and Paulie Malignaggi got into it, the famous slap, where Paulie Malignaggi slapped Arnim Lobov. I went to that. I've just been going to the city a lot lately. And, you know, sure enough, I got the call yesterday, Monday, and we went to the city. We got in early. We drove into the city. And this is a very, very convenient venue, and very, very nice, immaculate location. Bellator has events, media days here. They've had media days in this event space in the past, and I never had an opportunity to go. When they first announced the Zone deal, I believe they had an event in this same room. I'm not sure exactly, but I know that they've had many events in the Viacom building, and so this is my first time. And you know, luckily enough, there's a parking garage right in the building. Now, we also know a friend of ours whose name is Mike Russell, not to be confused with the MMA journalist Mike Russell, the venerable Mike Russell, who we know, who's been investigating Ali Abdulaziz and, you know, World Series of Fighting, which is now PFL, just a great guy, the best investigative journalist in mixed martial arts as far as I'm concerned. It's a different Mike Russell, who's actually a VP at Paramount. And he was able to meet us there. He was able to attend the event with us. And he told us there's a parking garage in there. So we get into the city, and we get right up to 15 Broadway, and we park right in this parking garage, which is just below the arena there, or not the arena, the office building. And we go up, and sure enough, we see the media check-in. Could not have been easier. Very, very accommodating people. Wasn't inundated with security. You know, a lot of times you go to these places and there's just a lot of security, and you get this feeling like when Eddie Goldman and I went to the Madison Square Garden press conference, which featured Jarrell, Big Baby Miller, and Anthony Joshua. I mean, you had just a different level of security, and security was very nasty. Eddie Goldman actually got into it with a few different security people there. Was kind of amusing. It wasn't like that. This is a different feel, very, very professional. Every floor, Mike Russell was telling us, has a different, like, a design. You know, like they have the Disney floor. They have so many different floors, and it's all, you know, different colors, and it's just really, really an amazing building. It really is. If you've never been there, if you can, go. You know, I don't know what event would bring you there, but it would be definitely in your interest to go. And so we got in there, and we got a little late because Scott Coker had already been talking about, they already kicked the press conference off. And, you know, we got there, and the media was pretty, the media section was pretty packed there. And there was a few open seats. There was a lot of people attending this. I recognize some of the people. Some of the other people I didn't recognize. You know, you get the usual shills that go to these events here. You know, they work for the sites, or they cover the event for the sites, and you know how they are. I mean, yeah. And so, you know, Bellator, they had a video presentation, and then they brought the fighters out, and it was Chael Sonnen, Neiman Gracie, Max Humphrey, of course, Scott Coker, Dylan Danis, Heather Hardy, and Lyoto Machida. And it was really, really short and to the point. They went right to the media. Media started asking questions. And then right after that, you had access to the fighters, and they lined up the fighters under these different kind of displays, these real fancy electronic displays, which featured the fighter and their names and all that stuff. And it was really, really a wide open space. It was great. Very, very clean. You know, just almost the perfect event space for a presentation, which is what they use this room for, presentations. You know, and we were fortunate enough to be able to talk to Leota Machida and talk to Neiman Gracie. I didn't really desire to speak to anybody else. I was going to speak to Dylan Danis just to get his take on Askren and some of the other people and you know, people calling him out and him being, you know, perhaps he thinks or he's asking the question whether or not he's the most hated man in America. I don't know. But, you know, he was there, and, God, he looks huge for a fighter his weight. I mean, he looks like he's, you know, 190, 200 or something like that, which for all we know he could be, you know. Just a really, really big, you know, welterweight or you know, the fight with Max Humphrey, the weight is really kind of up in the air. It's supposed to be listed as a catchweight at 175, but, you know, who knows? We don't know what the weight is going to be. And, you know, he was there, and it was just very, very inclusive. And Bellator had a lunch there for the media, which I've never actually attended a press conference that has actual lunch for the media members. It was very nice, very clean, good atmosphere. You had Wi-Fi there. You had a section for the media for these geeks with their laptops, you know, uploading stuff and whatnot. And all in all, it was one of the better press conferences and media days I've attended. And believe me, I've attended a lot over the years. And you know, Bellator, this is kind of their home turf here. This is their backyard here. And it was very, very nice. Really, really good atmosphere. Very well done by Scott Coker and the boys there over at Bellator. And you know, we got some pictures. We did everything that we wanted to do. And, you know, I'll go into the city. It's not that far of a drive for me. You know, it's maybe an hour. I could probably get there in a little less. It's real, real simple. And I'll go there and I'll park and I'll do what I have to do, you know. Cover the event, maybe get some audio, get some interviews, and go home. It's just a win-win for everybody there. But, you know, the big attraction, the big news of the day or the big story, so to speak, really came from, you know, Chael, Leoto, and Neiman and whatnot. And, you know, this is going to be Leoto Machida's second fight in Bellator, his first fight versus Rafael Carvalho. For Leoto, and you know, he's 41 years old now, 41, 42 years old, but he's still in obviously very good shape, still very durable. And I asked him about the fact that he has victories over Ryan Bader, knocked out Ryan Bader 7 years ago, and beat Gegard Mousasi. And both of these guys are doing very, very well in Bellator. And I know, you know, every fighter is different. You fight a guy 6 or 7 years ago, he's a different fighter nowadays, you know. But I wanted to see if that gave him any sort of confidence going into this fight, added confidence. He's also indicated that he wants to fight at 185 and 205. He's open to fighting at 205. So I wanted to get an idea of when he's going to come back, when he's going to fight again after June, how he's preparing for Chael, what it's like for him to fight at Madison Square Garden and whatnot. And here it is. So here is my real brief interview with Leoto Machida, who, let me tell you, was really, really nice enough to speak to all the media there. It's only a minute uploaded. For some reason, only a minute of this uploaded, which I'm very disappointed about because I used one of those converter sites and I got the audio off of my Instagram page and it only converted a minute of it. So let me see if I could fix something But here's my interview with Lyoto Machida. You're coming into Bellator, obviously, having a victory over Ryan Bader and Gegard Mousasi, and these are two of the top guys in Bellator now. You've said that you want to fight in two different divisions, 185, 205. Does that give you any added confidence now, I mean, at this stage in your career?
Out of confidence, you said?
Yeah.
No, I'm so confident, man, so... I've been doing this for so many years, and also I never stopped training. So once you never stop training, you always try to update yourself with other style, other people, and I still can do it. I train every day with young guys, and I get there and do my best, and I can achieve much more than I think that I can.
Absolutely, and when you fight Chael, obviously Chael's a wrestler. I think it's pretty clear that he's going to try to get the fight to the ground. But you have a history of fighting wrestlers and doing. Yeah, I guess it's only a minute or so. But my next question was about whether or not he's preparing differently for Chael Sonnen. You know, being that this is a guy who's fought wrestlers, has done very well against wrestlers, and if you even listen to what Chael Sonnen said during the press conference, saying basically, he's watched a lot of tape on Lyoto Machida, and he's very, very difficult to fill out, very, very difficult to, fill the distance close the distance, and he's just a very, very difficult guy to prepare for. Lyoto Machida said that he was preparing differently. Obviously, he's doing new things. He's still. Incorporating different things. Didn't want to reveal that, obviously, prior to the fight, but he was and is preparing, is adding stuff to his game and whatnot. And then I asked him whether or not, he's going to fight afterwards. Does he have any idea as far as when he wants to fight, after his fight versus Chael? And, it seems like he wants to fight right away. I have to go back and look at what happened. But he wants to remain active and wants to fight. Didn't specify how many times a year he wants to fight. And so, it was overall very, very good interview. Somebody I wanted to interview for quite some time. And finally able to get the opportunity to do that. And then, of course, we spoke to Neiman Gracie. And for some reason, I only have a minute of this conversation, but I asked him about the John Fitch-Rory McDonald matchup. And that's the most important question that I asked him, because that was really on everybody's mind. Who is going to who does he want to fight? Who does he think is going to win? What happens, God forbid, if one of these guys gets injured, how does that affect his fight and this card and whatnot? Then take a listen to some of what he was saying about this. Here with Neiman Gracie, we're at the Bellator Media Day. Neiman, a lot of people have been asking you about the matchup between John Fitch and Rory McDonald. I mean, that sort of like determines obviously who you're going to face next. Do you have, I think I can imagine your answer, but do you have a particular preference? Would you rather fight one fighter or the other, or does it make a difference?
Actually, I want to fight both. So whoever wins, I'm going to fight the winner, but I also want to fight whoever loses more up front, because they are both great fighters. But of course, I want to fight the champion, so I think maybe I want to fight Rory because he's the champion, so I'd like to get the belt from the champion, but in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Whoever comes is going to come with the belt, and that's what I want at the most.
But both of these fighters are obviously very, very experienced and whatnot, and you seem to be up to the challenge. Would you agree that if you were to fight... I asked him, would this be a step up? And he said, absolutely, this would be a step up in competition for him, because it would be a championship fight. It would be a championship bout. And so, no surprise there. Definitely is a step up. Both of these fighters have a lot more experience than he does. But, again, I think it's going to be a great matchup, whoever he fights, whether it's Fitch or whether it's Rory McDonald there. I think Rory McDonald is the favorite going into this fight. But We'll have to see what happens. As I was mentioning earlier, there was a young man on this card named Max Humphrey, who I had never really heard of prior to this fight card. I was researching it and saw that he's fighting Dylan Danis. This kid, Max Humphrey, is 3-2, has fights, I believe, in XFC and some other promotions there. Don't quote me on that. I don't have his record in front of me. But I noticed that my brother and correspondent was really, really bonding with this guy. You know, they were talking, and they seemed to really, really have a good relationship. And I'm one of these guys that I could look at somebody's conversation, and I could sort of tell how it's going, and you could sort of read, you know, each other's body language and whatnot. And I was able to eventually make my way over there after I interviewed a few people and get to meet him as well. And, you know, some of the people and some of the fighters on this card, they may be outshined by the certain members, you know, personality like Dylan Danis and whatnot, obviously, who commands a lot of media attention. But nonetheless, they have great stories themselves, very, very inspiring stories, and people that are genuinely regular people and that you would like and if you got to know. And very, very good people that overcame adversity and have done the right thing and are now getting a little bit of the spotlight and could be potentially future stars in this business. So let's bring on Rob. I wanted to talk to Rob about his experience with Max Humphrey and overall his experience at this Bellator media day there in New York City. Rob, welcome to Carson's Corner. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate it, man. Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, so I'm looking, you know, you were meeting a VP from Paramount, one of our friends, and so I was kind of just focused on what I'm doing, and then all of a sudden I turn around and I see you, and you're talking to this kid, Max Humphrey, who was there with his manager, and you guys, you seem to have a real...
Hello?
Got no car, so I got no soul. Life in prison, no parole, no control. Food, I got my number on a wiretap. Cause I jacked for civil act. Fuck a Cadillac, survive.
Live here on Carson's Corner. I apologize. What happened was my Skype credit ran out, and I put it on automatic refill, and for some reason it didn't work.
So I lost my Skype connection, and now I'm calling back to your cell phone. We have Rob on the line. Rob, can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute, Bob. I got you now. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I apologize. Did you get the gist? I kind of just wanted to start off with what happened, sort of how that happened between you and Max.
Yeah, I heard most of it. As you know, I was meeting a friend there, and after the press conference, I went over and made a plate and went over to a table, I never knew who was there, and I just kind of went to the table, and it was kind of one of those stand-up tables, and like a bar type table, and there was this young man sitting next to me, standing next to me, and he was having a sandwich, and we started chatting, and I had no idea who it was for, you know, maybe over a solid minute or so. It wasn't a real huge venue, you know, so you know there. And I saw his picture, and I said, oh, geez, you know, you're one of the fighters. And, you know, by that point, we had discussed a little bit of fishing, a little bit about camping, and, you know, he's an outdoorsman. And then, you know, I started to talk. I let him know that I was with the Bob Carson radio show. And we got a little bit into his career. And, you know, he's a little older than my son. I think, you know, my son's 25. I think Max is 30. And so he's a young man and kind of salt of the earth type of guy. And, you know, I'm a pretty good judge of character. You know me, John, my whole life. I'm your older brother. And just liked him right off the bat, and his manager as well. You know, Southern boys from down south in New York City, and, you know, he feels a lot more comfortable in the woods by a fire with a fishing pole in his hand than he did, you know, at the press conference. And I'm kind of the same way. You know, I like to be on the woods on my bike, and just a guy that you can hang with, a guy that you can root for. And it was a breath of fresh air for me to see a world-class MMA guy. And you know the gym that he works with, and you know the guys. He was very proud of, you know, Johnny Jones and working with Diego Sanchez. And this was all news to me because, you know, I'm a fight fan and I like to pick your brain a lot, but I'm certainly not the expert that you are. So, you know, to just the people that are listening out there, this guy's you got to root for, man. You know, and I know that he's an underdog in this fight, and his manager and him understand. You know, we were talking about some game plan, which was very interesting, and because I didn't know about the styles of the fighters. I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the fight, please, to educate me and some of the other listeners on it. But, you know, those of you listening out there and any Max Humphrey fans, man, he's a really cool guy, and it's somebody that you can root for. He seems to, you know, you could tell a lot about a person. Life knocks you down, and fighters lose and get knocked out, but you tell a lot about a person, what they do when they get knocked down, how they get back up and dust themselves off and you know, wake up the next day, or in his case, go to the next round. And just root for this kid. And I'm hoping that, you know, I know he is an underdog, but I'm really hoping that he beats this kid. I didn't like the way this Harris guy seemed a little cocky. Everybody else was extremely professional. And extremely cordial to one another, as they should be. The professional fighters in Darius, as you know, was a little cocky, and then the local kid too, as we are. But man, I'll tell you, there's nothing more that I'd like better than to see that kid on his back with my new friend Max standing above him.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised too, because like I said, I didn't know anything about Max Humphrey. Obviously, there's a lot of attention, a lot of focus on Dylan Danis, who Conor McGregor's training partner, and a very, very flashy, flamboyant character who, you know, commands a lot of media presence. Dylan Danis has a lot of Facebook followers, or a lot of Twitter followers, a lot of Instagram followers, 782,000 Instagram followers. He's, you know, a hot-button guy, and he's drawing the attention of some other fighters like Ben Askren and others in other organizations. There's something about him that antagonizes everybody. And so I had no idea. And then when I met Max, I made my way over to you guys, and I was really kind of surprised to learn that, you know, he does train at Team Jackson Wink. Does train with John Jones in the company of very, very good fighters. And he seemed to be a total contrast to what Dylan Danis was. He seemed to be very, very uncomfortable, very shy under the lights. In fact, And he even remarked that he didn't even want to come alone. He had his manager, Chris Gregory, who we met and seemed like a really, really nice guy. He works at Scrap Fighter Management. They come and you know, accompanied him and whatnot. And as you said, he does seem like the type of guy that you meet on the bar stool. You know, the type of guy that, you know, you could become friendly with, that you can relate with, and whatnot. And so, yeah, you know, there's definitely, I think if more people understood that, more people realized that, more people would want to get on his side. If his story got out there more, then you know, people would just appreciate more being, you know, an everyday, every man type of guy that you could sort of get behind and root for against this, you know, flamboyant Dylan Danis out there.
Yeah. And, you know, he they understand that, you know, he's got his work cut out for him. I understand this Danis is a world-class, is it a jiu-jitsu? He's a jiu-jitsu black belt, isn't he, Bob?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So you know, he they understand, but just as a regular person, you're a regular person, I'm a regular person, and I'll tell you, this kid Max is just the real deal. I really liked him, and you know, I hope that when he's in town in June, that you know, I said, you know, after the fight, you know, I said, you know, New York, New Jersey, which we grew up in, as you know, there's a lot of mountains, a lot of places to fish. I'd love to get him on a mountain bike and get him into the woods, and he seems like he would be a lot more at home there than in Times Square. But they were catching a flight, and I actually even, you know, I was hoping they were going to Newark. I was going to say, you know, if you don't have a car, man, I said, me and Bob will drive you back as we're passing the airport. I'd, you know, be more than happy to spend another half hour with you in the car and chat with you. But yeah, man, you know, people out there that follow MMA and listen to your show, and you know, he's a really unassuming guy, and I like him, and I'm a pretty good judge of character. And you know, he's a guy, like I said, made some mistakes early, got in trouble, made amends for his mistakes, and realized that martial arts was a way. You know, we all have those, you know, aggression things. And he was a wrestler. We talked about his football career, because, you know, I played he wasn't much of a baseball guy, but he was a contact sport wrestler, football. And, you know, just he was able to channel some of that aggressive, maybe some inner anger that we all have, and channel it in a positive way. And for him to work out in that gym with those guys is no joke. So when I found out, you know, I watch, you know, we talk about MMA all the time, you and I, and you know, I know these guys, and I know Diego Sanchez's career, and of course John Jones, and he mentioned another couple of guys in that gym that I've seen fight. So for him to be accept those individuals certainly says something about his skill. So I'm hoping that Max, you know, puts on a great show. And, man, I'd love to see him shut this kid up. That kid was pretty cocky today.
You know, it reminds me of another fighter, James Gallagher, who was also Conor McGregor's sort of protege. He's also a Bellator fighter, very, very cocky. He was 6-0, and he fought this kid from New Jersey, Ricky Banderas, who's now in the UFC. And he got up, and it, like, as they were announcing Ricky Banderas, James Gallagher went across the stage, got right in his face, and just was taunting, which is really, like, unheard of. You don't see that. Just over the top, right? And then Banderas knocks him out. It knocks him out, I believe, with a head kick or a right hand or something like that. And he's standing over him, and Gallagher is unconscious. And it was, like, one of those moments where, you know, yeah, the bad guy lost, the flamboyant, you know, Conor McGregor-like type guy lost, and the humble guy won, which is a lot of times you don't see in mixed martial arts. It would be good to see that it coming up, you know, with a guy like Max Humphrey, who's very, would perfectly fit that role.
Yeah, I think a lot of his, you know, his family and his friends, you know, I think are proud of him. I mean, you know, if you met this guy and he wasn't on the stage at a press conference, right, you probably wouldn't get out of him that he's a world-class MMA fighter that's fighting at the Garden in a couple months on a card, you know, with Lyoto Machida and Cale Sonnen. you know, he would be the guy that you'd have to pry it out of. And after spending a week with them, you'd finally realize, are you kidding me, man? You're fighting it to go. You're like, he's the real deal. And, you know, and that's what I was real impressed about. A lot of us about ourselves and what we do. And he's not like that at all. And we were talking about this, how cocky, you know, Darius was. And as a guy who watches these fights, drinking a beer and having his friends over, you know, we're students of the game, and we like to see the competition and all. But it's always nice to see that guy that works hard, that, you know, sometimes life just says, hey, you know what, let's notice this kid's hard work. And he seems to have put it in. And, yeah, this kid being real cocky today actually got into that reporter's face, which, and I'll tell you that little, I think he was a blogger, you had said, that blogger was kind of cocky. And I liked the way Max, he came up to our table because I was kind of hogging Max. We were talking and the press wanted to get at him. So they kept pulling him away from our conversation. And then he kept coming back, to keep chatting. And, you know, the press, this guy was kind of, you know, was talking down to him, like, you know, I looked you up and I can only find three fights that you had. And, you know, I think he handled it pretty well, better than I would, because I walked away because I didn't like the guy. But, no, Max handled it very well, and he handled the whole situation very well. And I hope he does the same thing in that ring and manages the emotion. And I'm certainly going to look up his fights. I've never seen him fight. I did see some videos of him training in the gym. He was sharing some videos with me of you know, the guys he trains with, and he speaks very highly of John Jones and Diego Sanchez, and what great guys they are, great training partners. And I think he works out with a Ling, who's a world-class fighter in his own right or something. You would know more about his training partners than I, Bob.
You know, just talk about the MMA media. Some of them are real pompous and elitist, and there's only a few people that have been around as long as myself and Eddie Goldman, and I can assure you that, you know, almost everybody there, they're, you know, Johnny Come Lately guys. They're just, some of them are just real arrogant. That's why I don't usually interact with them. I only interact with a few people that I know for years that are doing this, and they're not shills and just, you know, don't have that attitude. You did have an opportunity to interact with Chael Sonnen a little bit. How did that?
I did. Yeah. Another really, really cool guy. And of course, you know, I've been a martial arts fan for, you know, as long as you have, and or longer, because I'm a lot older. And really intellectual, bright, which I really like. You know, not everybody that fights and throws hands has to be a Neanderthal. And he was a really cool guy, and he was real humble. It was nice. Of course, it wasn't the conversation and time I spent with Max, but it was a minute or two that, you know, I walked up to him, said I was a big fan. And I liked the interaction that him and Leota had. Professionalism, man. And they were giving one another compliments. And that's the thing I talked with Max and his manager about, is that, you know, these fighters make sacrifices, all right? You know, look at their ears, look at their hands. You know, just training would kill the average person out there. You wouldn't be able to train 5 minutes with these guys. You fought, Bob. You get it. You know the sacrifices. And what I don't understand is that at this level, I think that there should be a mutual respect among world class. This isn't a bar brawl. These are world class athletes. And I hate this cocky stuff. What are you gonna be cocky for? We got videos. We've seen you. Man, you're an impressive athlete. No reason to be cocky about it. You know, it's your job. It's what you do. I'm a respiratory therapist. I try to be the best one that I can. I'm be cocky about it. What are you kidding me? Does anybody care? No, nobody cares. You know, and, you know, I just, you know, this is a situation where, you know, you don't want to say good over evil, but man, you want the underdog who deserves it, who's worked hard, to maybe, maybe shut this guy up and upset things. And of course it would be quite a jump for his career. And, you know, like I said, man, I hope I made a friend. He's a really cool guy. I can certainly hang with him.
Diamond World Fight event. And that was supposed to be a mixed martial art event, and that turned out to be an absolute disaster. That was really your first taste of mixed martial arts. But this was your first press conference, and I got to tell you, you picked a really, really good one. You know, considering the location, considering all of what Bellator provided, what was your impression overall of the event?
It was an impressive event. I enjoyed it. You know, I'm a gregarious guy, and I like to, you know, get out there and shake hands and say hi, and people interest me, especially, you know, martial artists and these type of people. Apples and oranges compared to the events, that Diamond Ring thing, the University of Delaware, as you know, was a debacle. But, you know, the shining moment there, or in my life, was meeting, you know, Shannon, the Cannon Rich, and you know, doing that that HBO thing, and with them after the fight, and Shannon and his wife, who was really beautiful and gracious and such a sweet person, invited us back to their hotel with the documentary crew, and we went over his 20-something, 30 years of bare-knuckle boxing and brawls in the early days of MMA, and just a class act, you know, served his country, and you know, and again, what I like about him is a regular guy, you know what I mean, a guy that, you know, just seems like a regular person, and I like that. I like regular people, kind of humble. You know, they're fighters, man. They got issues, and they'll say, I love when Chuck Liddell said, yeah, we're fighters, man. We all got a couple screws loose up there, and God bless them all. But, you know, he's a regular guy. And you know what was impressive too? Is, you know, we're kind of athletic, our family, John, we're kind of athletes, is that Shannon the Cannon Rich, not only like a world-class MMA, bare-knuckle, you know, MMA guy and a veteran and all that stuff, he's also like a scratch golfer. Like, you know, this guy's in the shooting in the 70s at, you know, in Arizona on some tough courses. And, you know, that was impressive. So he's like the real deal, real athlete. And, you know, certainly I like your idea that, you know, they should give him one fight in the UFC and put him, you know, in their Hall of Fame. You know, with his, you know, being a veteran and what he's done in the sport, and as someone who spent quite a few hours with him at his parents, being his family, and, you know, had a cup of coffee with him at that Applebee's, and they're just really, again, cool people, someone that you could root for sure. But the events were completely different. Man, that was something else at the University of Delaware. They canceled the show. The fighters' checks bounced. I mean, what a debacle that was, and compared to the class of Viacom on Times Square, and you know, seeing the naked cowboy running around out there in the parking garage. Unbelievable stuff. But yeah, apples and oranges.
We saw him when we pulled up, and I remember him from the Howard Stern show. And he looks like the guy, looks like he hasn't aged at all. He's like, I mean, that guy's like unbelievable.
Yeah,
like,
well, if you're going to wear that auto Speedo, you're going to wear a Speedo, you know, it helps to not have a bad body. I guess he's in pretty good shape for it. He's got to be in his 50s or more. He's got to be my age. And, you know, I certainly would look as good in a Speedo as he does. I'll tell you that.
Listen, I hope that we can cover this event live. You know, Bellator, what's now is 222, I believe. Bellator at Madison Square Garden. June 14th. I know we'll cover it one way or the other. Punch has limited press seating, as you know, with Bellator 170, where I couldn't get in. You know, they granted me a press pass, and then they had to bump me. And then, you know, Bellator tends to have limited seating, particularly in New York City. But there is a chance that, you know, we could get in. If not, then there's another route with Viacom that we can go through.
That's quite a that would be a long shot, but we'll see, man. You know, regardless of where I am that night, you know, I will be. I'll either be with you watching that fight, or we'll be hanging out at my place watching it. And you know, I certainly hope. That you know, I hope that the Lyoto Sonnen fight is good. I hope it's not one of those ones that's over real quick. I'd like to see those guys go. They're two kind of legends of the sport, so I certainly like to see. And that young woman that was there, I don't know much about her. She seemed pretty nice. She seemed pretty cool. I didn't get to interact with her much.
She seems like she just loves the sport and wants to compete, and that was refreshing too. So yeah, the whole day was refreshing. You know, the one thing, you know, like I said, was that Darius guy seemed a little cocky and got into it with that snooty, you know, little blogger there that you know, I didn't seem to like either. Excuse me. But yeah, I think the sport needs to move away from that. These guys make sacrifices and they beat themselves up all day long to prepare for these fights. And I think they should all be showing themselves respect and be humble. And you know, your fighters, man, you're going to be fighting in a couple months and do your talking in the ring and shake each other's hands and respect one another. And I think if, you know, if MMA and Bellator, you know, and I think moving forward as they grow, I think their fighters would be, well advised to stick to that script and keep the sport up and not like the WWE.
All right, we'll leave it there. Well, listen, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you sometime down the road.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon, bud.
Take care. All right. Again, there was our correspondent, Rob McCaffrey, who joined us today at the Ultra Media Day. I want to take a brief time out, and then we'll come back with a little UFC 236 preview, and then we'll wrap it up. So stay tuned right here on Carson's Corner.
Christopher Malley went out on a bridge down in Chehalis, clutching his Bible and a letter from her fell into the river. Pity no one was there, no angels in the air, and the morning paper ran, one more suicide. Yeah. Mama stayed by the riverside, down in Chehalis, clutching her Bible and a letter from him, fell into crying. Pity no one was there, no angels in the air, and the morning paper ran, one more suicide. Yeah.
We're back live here on Carson's Corner, and I am broadcasting via Skype now. I got my Skype back, so I got my microphone, and we're ready to go here. We have UFC 236 that's taking place this weekend, and I got to tell you, I'm very, very excited about this card. You know me. If I don't like a card, I tell you not to buy it. I tell you that this card has not earned our business. However, the UFC 236, which takes place at the State Farm Arena this weekend, it's a ESPN2 pay-per-view, ESPN+ pay-per-view, is a very, very good fight card. I mean, for the most part, you know. Of course, the main event, Max Holloway versus Dustin Poirier, this is a rematch. This is at 155. Max Holloway going up and trying to chase that gold. And I got to tell you, I think that this is a fight that he's going to win. I mean, yes, Dustin Poirier is fighting better. He's on a roll. There's no question about it. But I don't think Max Holloway is really, you know, touchable at this point. His brawling style, his ability to take a punch, his ability to deliver a punch, his well-roundedness, everything. This could be the fight that really launches him into stardom. You know, there's no reason why he's not that big of a star yet, why he shouldn't be that big of a star. Again, you know, crowd-pleasing style, very, very funny, very, very nice guy from Hawaii, always typically has great fights out there. You know, there hasn't been too many disappointing Max Holloway fights, certainly not, I can remember. You know, he obliterated Jose Aldo, made his title defense at featherweight versus Brian Ortega look absolutely easy. He just absolutely devastated Ortega in there. And, you know, he's really on a roll. And this is a guy whose future was uncertain. You know, we remember when he was giving incoherent interviews, when he looked really off on television. People were speculating about his health. They didn't know what was going on. And he's really kind of a rebounded. But, you know, Dustin Poirier is a very, very exciting fighter. This is a guy who is on a roll. As I said, you know, MMA is a sport of streaks, and whoever's hottest at the moment wins. But I just don't think that anything is going to happen that's going to cause Max Holloway to lose this fight. So I pick Holloway. And the next fight is the co-main event, Kelvin Gastelum versus Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya is undefeated at 16-0, coming off a win against Anderson Silva. Prior to that, beating Derek Bronson. Prior to that, beating Brad Tavares, I believe. And he's faced wrestlers, and Kelvin Gastelum is a good wrestler. I don't know if he's as good as a wrestler as Derek Brunson. Kelvin is a smaller 185er. He's a shorter fighter, and I think he's going to have a real problem with Adesanya. Yeah, Kelvin Gastelum's not afraid to fight. Kelvin Gastelum's not afraid to wrestle, but I just don't see him having the wrestling game to really, really stop Adesanya or to even put him on his back, because Adesanya, at least in the UFC, I can't recall him ever being taken down, ever being put on his back. And this is a young fighter that's evolving. This is a young fighter that, you know, is getting better, and it's going to be a very, very interesting fight. But I got to tell you, I got to give the nod to Israel Adesanya. I've said it for a long time. This kid is going to be a champion. He's just Adesanya, ladies and gentlemen. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting fight. But, you know, this is a sport where most of the predictions are not true, and most of the predictions maybe run about 40-50%. In terms of accuracy. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Gastelum wins. Gastelum mixes up his takedowns and striking. Gastelum has knockout power himself. Who knows what's going to happen? That's what's so great about this sport. You don't really know what's going to happen. Aside from that, you know, I mean, I'm not interested in Eric Anders. It's not Anders, it's Anders. Eric Anders versus Khalil Rountree. That doesn't really make a difference to me. There's also another rematch on this card, Ovince St. Preux versus Nikita Krylov. Ovince St. Preux won their first fight via Von Flue choke. And, you know, it's really like a two-fight card the more I look at it, you know. Certain fights dropped off of this card, and, you know, that's really it. So I would recommend it. I'm probably going to be watching this if I can. And hopefully you will as well. I signed up for ESPN Plus last week, and it was such a disaster because the last UFC card wasn't UFC London. It was the card after that. I forget who it was. I think it was Justin Gaethje, UFC Philadelphia. Well, UFC Philadelphia was on ESPN, And if it's on ESPN and you don't have television, which I don't, then you really can't watch it unless one of the ESPN Plus channels carries ESPN. It's just weird. It's like a weird... And I can only watch the fight in Spanish, so I had to watch UFC Philadelphia in Spanish. It was really, really... It's kind of confusing, but if it's an ESPN Plus event and the entire event's on ESPN Plus, then you can watch it on ESPN Plus. If it's an ESPN Plus pay-per-view, then you can only watch the prelims on ESPN Plus, and you have to get the pay-per-view. And then, you know, if it's on ESPN altogether, you won't be able to watch it on the ESPN Plus. It's, I mean, even if you have ESPN Plus, if you don't have television, you got to. It's just it's really, really complicated. Really is. And you know, this is the sport now. This is what we have. And you know, I'm not saying that it's. Well, look, that's another discussion. We'll have that discussion, whether or not the product in these cars are quality anymore. They're just mass-produced out there to fill up, you know, times and whatnot. You know, perhaps boxing is really having a problem with these streaming networks signing certain fighters, and all these the top fighters are signed to different networks, and there's, you know, as of right now, it doesn't look like there's any co-promoting out there. But we'll see what happens. In any event, we're just about out of time here. It was a quick hour and a half. Very, very happy to go to Bellator Media Day. And if you want to check out some of the interviews I had, you can go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Go to Twitter, they're there as well, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Or go to Instagram, instagram.com/BobCarsonMMA. All the same handles there, and took some pictures and got some interviews, and check out my stuff there. Friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, do whatever you can, interact with me, and spread the word of the show, please. We need it. You know, you got these arrogant bloggers, just like Rob was talking about, this little weasel that was there. I've seen him. I don't even know what website he works for. Probably works for one of these websites, or I don't even know if these people get paid. I only know of a few people that actually get paid doing this stuff. And those are like the major shills. You know, those are the guys that are part of the UFC promotional strategy and whatnot. But, you know, most of these guys, they're all the same. They're just providing service to power, ladies and gentlemen. That's it, service to power. And yeah, just want to smack them. They never fought these guys. A lot of these guys are not athletic. They haven't fought, and they don't have the courage to fight. They really don't. So disappointed I didn't get a chance to talk about the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 5. However, I did interact with David Feldman, the CEO of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, and I asked him about the claim on the part of some of the in the so-called MMA media about this being barbarism and you know, fighters being down on their luck. And he said that's the same thing they said about the UFC. So very interesting response there from David Feldman. We may try to get him back on the program at some point. So that's it. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.